Father, we would invite you to now to speak to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to hear what you would say to each one of us this day. We've come, Lord, with expectant hearts, desiring, Lord, to hear your voice. So speak to us now, Lord. Might your Holy Spirit guide us into your truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. We pick up our study kind of mid-chapter here. But I wanted to mention to you that an amazing event has taken place. After years of searching, the perfect pastor has been found. He's 36 years old and has been preaching for 40 years. He is tall on the short side, heavy set in a thin sort of way, and handsome. He has eyes of blue or brown to fit the occasion, and he wears his hair parted in the middle, left side dark and straight, right side brown and wavy. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. Ha! He condemns sin but never steps on anyone's toes. He works from 8 in the morning till 10 at night, and he does everything from preaching sermons to sweeping. He makes $400 a month, and he gives $100 a week to the church. Drives an older model car, buys lots of books, wears fine clothes, and has a nice family. He has a burning desire to work with youth and spends all his time with the senior citizens. He smiles all the time while keeping a straight face, yet he has a keen sense of humor that finds him seriously dedicated. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all of his time evangelizing non-members, and is always found in his study if he's needed. What a pastor. I love that. So what does a pastor look like? Now you know. Sorry. But, you know, as we enter this section of Scripture, we're in that place where God is raising up a deliverer for his people. So what does a deliverer look like? Well, as we look at Moses, we see some interesting things about him. And the process that God took him through to get him to that place where he was ready to be used by God to pull off an exodus. First 40 years, we know he spent in Pharaoh's court, in the world, being educated in the things of the world. And then at the end of that time, through the events, as he strikes down the Egyptian and kills him, he's forced to flee into the wilderness of Midian, and he spends the next 40 years, the second chapter of his life, herding sheep. No longer Pharaoh elect, all he's hearing is, bah. But now the time has come where God is ready to use him, and he shows up. Moses has just had a meeting with a burning bush, and we now are given insight into this private conversation that takes place on the backside of the wilderness of Midian between God and Moses. God has just told Moses of a new opportunity. I'm going to take you back to Exodus, or take you back to Egypt for an exodus. And so Moses is not quite so sure. He would have been sure 40 years earlier. He would have been pretty confident that he was the guy. Matter of fact, the scripture says that he knew that he was to be the deliverer. But now, after having all of these years in the wilderness, a lot of that self-assurance has been stripped away. And so God makes this announcement to Moses, and Moses enters into a losing argument, if you will. In verse 11 of chapter 3, we read, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." Now we know that this discussion takes place on Mount Horeb, but another name for Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. And so it's not going to be very long before Moses is back there receiving the law from the Lord. And that's going to be the validation, if you will, that God has placed this call upon his life. But the first thing that Moses has to say with the Lord as he's given that invitation to be God's instrument in this process, he says, "You know, God, I'm the one who blows it. I don't have all the ability." Moses sees his failure. And I'm sure he's relived that event many, many times over that last 40 years of striking down the Egyptian and having to flee. And now God shows up and says, I want to use you. I want to use you, Moses. And Moses says, Lord, I'm not so sure that I have the tools, the skill, the ability to do it. And God says this, I will be with you. And that's the truth, is it not? For us as well. God shows up in our lives. He speaks to our hearts and says, I want you to do this. And so often our first response is, I'm not the one. I don't have the ability, Lord. And he says to us, I will be with you. And so Moses hadn't had enough yet, so he continues on. He says unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me. I am the all-sufficient one. It could literally be rendered, I am the becoming one. I become whatever you need in any given situation, everything you need. But as you go through the scriptures, as you are making that journey, you'll find in the Old Testament that God again and again reveals himself with various names, various relationships that he has with his people. He calls himself God Most High, El Elyon. Or God Almighty, El Shaddai, Everlasting God, El Olam, God Will Provide, we sang it today, Jehovah Jireh, God Who Sees, El Roy, Mighty God of Israel, El Elohe Israel, the God of the House of God, El Bethel. You see, God is everything, and those are just a few of the names. I love Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. And he will be all of these things. He is all of these things to us if we will but connect with him, reach out to him. He longs to reveal himself. Moses said, who should I say sent me? And he would say, I am. I am sent you. I am sending you. Jesus would say that a number of times. When he was talking to the religious Jews, he said, before Abraham was what? I am. A declaration of his godness, if you will. And so we rejoice in that. God is teaching Moses in this discourse as he's continuing to grow, as he's rebuilding this lowly Bedouin shepherd into a mighty deliverer. But he's only mighty through the power of God. It isn't his own strength or power, and he knows it now. In verse 15, God said, moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. So that's the first message of hope. I have seen, and I know, and I'm responding. I will provide deliverance. You know, the thing is that we need to embrace God as a God that is right here, that is close and personal. He's not a God way out there. Many people see him as that. I mean, we know God is high and lifted up. He is, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah describes that for us in Isaiah 6. And yet, he dwells within our hearts as we sing. He lives within my heart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And so we have all of these things of who God is all brought together in this truth that he is a God very near. In verse 17, and I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt, you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go, we beseech ye, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. After that, he will let you go. So here's the game plan, Moses. He lays it out for him. Here's what's going to happen. Moses should have had this on a 3x5 card as he talks about not only deliverance of the people of Israel, but direction for them and his determination to see it done. And the distribution of his power as he brings the judgments upon Egypt in their rebellion against his plan and against his will. And I will give this people favor, verse 21, in the sight of the Egyptians. And they shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. He says, I'm going to not only deliver you, I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you things that you don't have right now. Because the scripture says he can do beyond all that we could ask or even think. God is going to bless them. They're going to receive, if you will, 400 years of back pay. Because God's able to do that. God's plan extends beyond just you and me. God is orchestrating his plan throughout the universe. It's all unfolding before us. We serve an awesome God. And when he calls us and when he says, I want to take you from where you are to where you're going to be, and I'm not only going to take you there, but I'm going to bless you in your journey so that you have everything that you need when you make your journey. Our God provides everything that we need. He is our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Know him as that. Know him as that. And Moses answered, verse 1, chapter 4, and said, but hold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. What if, Moses would say, they might not accept me. Have you ever had that thought when you're thinking about going to share with somebody or to minister into a life? They might not accept me. What if they don't accept me? The Lord would say the same thing to you that he said to Moses, the same thing to me. What's that in your hand? For Moses, it was a staff, his symbol of authority. For some of us, it's a pen. For some of us, it's our lips. For some of us, we have all sorts of things that we do. That is that which is in our hand. God will use that in your life. Never minimize what God has gifted you to do. Those things that come naturally. There are some people that are very gifted and interested in doing baking and those kinds of things. That's a gift. Treasure it. There are others that are comfortable working behind the scenes, emptying trash cans and sweeping floors. That's a gift. You see, all of these things God weaves together and will use for his glory. I mean, we tend to think of the gifts as these wonderful gifts of miracles and healing and speaking in tongues and all of those things. And those things are marvelous, to be sure. They are gifts to the church, but there is so much more beyond that that the Lord wants us to be aware of. What is it that you have in your hand, Moses? He says it's a staff. The staff is just an instrument, but it is a symbol of power and authority in God's hand. And Moses will use it in many occasions, as we shall see, as the judgments fall, as he sticks out his staff before the Red Sea and it's divided in two. It is simply the channel, if you will, of God's power through that which God has placed in Moses' hand. Are you waiting and ready and able to allow God to work in your life, to expend his power on behalf of those around you simply because you are willing to stretch out your hand and hold on to that which he has given you. He calls us to that. In verse 6, he goes on. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put not thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. And he said, put thine hand unto thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it is turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. We know from Scripture that leprosy is a picture of sin. The bosom is that idea of the inner man, the inner heart of man. In Luke chapter 6, we read, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Our hands are evidence of what's going on in our heart. What we are doing with our lives, what we are doing with our hands. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We are sinful people, but God heals the wicked heart of man. We see that. We see that picture there in that discussion with Moses. As he puts his hand, he brings it out. It is simply evidence of what's there before God touches it. Leprosy, sin. And then when he puts it back in, God does his transformative work. He brings it out and it's whole. God has done that for many of us today, has he not? He has brought us into that place of wholeness. He's removed our leprosy. He's made us white as snow. He's washed us clean. And we rejoice in that. In verse 9, he says, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. A picture of judgment, the judgment that's coming upon Egypt. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, not since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? I'm not eloquent, says Moses. I don't have all the words. But God would answer him very directly, Moses, I made your mouth. I gave you hearing. I gave you vision. I gave you all of those things. You may not have it in your own strength, but I will give you what you need when you are in the place that I want you to be. I will speak to you and I will speak through you. And that's exactly what Jesus told the disciples when he was going to depart. Take no thought about what you're going to share, for the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to share when the time is right. We don't have to fear not having all of the answers. And sometimes I have found that I don't have the answer at the time. It can be humbling, but it's a great learning experience. It's okay to say, I don't know, but I'll find out, and we'll talk again. But Moses is told, I will minister through you, your words, your simple words, Moses. Maybe they're simple in your sight. Paul would say to the Corinthian church, I determined not to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. That's what we need to know, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because when people come to faith, it is that which brings them, the finished work of Christ on the cross. Then we can take them to the hope and the reality of an empty tomb, but it begins on a cross. And then it progresses to a tomb, and then it goes to the sky. Even as we sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. And he did. He came, and he paid the price. I don't have all the words, Lord. Verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, "Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." What did Moses just say? Send anybody else, Lord. I don't want to go. I want to stay out here in the wilderness. I don't want to go back to Egypt. And the Lord's not going to accept it. "I'm not willing," Moses said. Moses was not unable. He was unwilling. And I find that to be the case in most circumstances when God calls in our lives. It is not an inability, it's an unwillingness. To be shaken up, to be broken out of our daily routine, to step out into that supernatural realm and see what God will do. God just does amazing things. And he wants to do amazing things in your life and mine every day as we live our lives for him. You see? It's such a wonderful journey. And God, it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be unto him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do signs." So God allows Moses to take Aaron into the plan, to be his helper, if you will. But that wasn't God's plan. That was Moses that caused that to happen. And Moses forfeited the position that God intended for him. Resisting God's direction is never good. It never comes out well. It's always a losing argument. Because we know, as we proceed through this story in Exodus, that Aaron is going to be part of the golden calf detail. That when Moses is up on the mountain receiving the law, the people come to Aaron and they say, "Look, Moses, we don't know what happened to him. He's probably toast up there, you know. We need to do something. We need to make an idol." So Aaron says, "Bring me all your gold." And they bring all of that and they make this golden calf and they're partying down. And Moses confronts them. "What is this, Aaron? What have you done?" They said, "Well, hey, the people brought the gold. We threw it into the fire and out popped this calf." Huh. How did that happen? But you see, that was never part of God's plan. That was the results of the plan of man. Moses was to be the man. And yet that's not the way it unfolded. Moses is going to be sent with power and the promise of God. But the one thing that we need to hold on to is that revelation and rescue take time. God takes his time with us. We don't want to wait for it. We want it now. We want it quickly. Everything is instant in our day. And we want our spiritual lives to be the same way, instant. I don't know about you, but I found that that's not the case. God takes us through our paces to teach us what he wants us to learn and know. And he is so faithful to do that. It's like one guy said, he's taking his time with you, isn't he? Ticking you off, isn't it? And it's true. We sometimes get upset with God. Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you taking care of the problem or providing this that we want or moving us to this situation or giving us that job? Why? And God just listens and continues doing what he's doing because he's God, knowing that it'll be for our best and for his glory. Don't get anxious. We sang it today. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. We need to wait on him, trust in him, believe that he is able and willing to do his work. Keep pressing in prayer. Don't lose hope. Hold fast to your faith and know that our God is able and willing and will complete the work in you and in me according to his timetable, not ours. Which I'm glad, because it's always the best. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. We are so grateful, Lord, that you call us into these times, Lord, of growing together, of learning together, Father, of waiting together. For Lord, we find ourselves in that place where we know that we are not what we should be or will be. We know, Lord, that so often we gain insight from others when we're together. And that is so wonderful. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And Father, that precious commodity of waiting patiently. And I pray, Father, that you would instill that in our hearts, that we would live our lives day by day, Father, with a joy of knowing that you're at work, even when we can't see, because your word declares it, that we can rejoice when we see you are working, Father, because that is a gift from your hands, that we can rejoice to know that you're not done yet, Lord, because we're still here. Might joy be the hallmark, Lord, of our lives, day by day, casting our cares on you because we know that you care for us. I pray, Father, for this fellowship, each and every person. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all, Lord, to live in that place of joy, even in the difficulties of life. Might we have that abundant joy, that peace that passes understanding. Might we not allow the evil one to pull us into that pit of despair, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would learn from the life of Moses. We are insufficient to be sure, Lord. But you made our mouth. You made our eyes. You made our ears. You gave us the breath of life. And you are a faithful Father, a good Father. So might we be lifted up today, Lord, in our spirits, buoyed, Lord, by your Spirit. And I pray, Father, today that if there's anyone here carrying that weight of life, Lord, that they would stop and grab someone and say, pray with me that I might experience joy and peace once again. That I might be able to carry those things that I bear to the foot of the cross and lay them down. Father, your word is clear that we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us, Lord, to enter into that mercy and ministry, Lord, with great anticipation. And as we heard earlier today, might we pray in tremendous faith, knowing that you are willing and able, and you will do the work. May the Lord fill you afresh with hope and peace. Might he infuse you with joy. Might he buoy you up. Might you mount up with wings as eagles. Might you run and not be weary. Might you walk and not faint. For I ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.